everything God has for me tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. We're so honored that y'all would come. We appreciate you very much. And how many of you know we appreciate your supply that you bring to the local church where you're a part of? Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, how many of you know in the local church, there is no higher office than the office of the shepherd? Right? Amen. We know in the callings of God, as wife, Pastor Sally, Dr. Sally brought out this morning, how many of you know that Paul wrote it, he talked about press for the high calling. Well, what is your highest calling? Well, that would be between you and God, right? But we know there are ranks in the body of Christ, and we talked about some of that Friday night, and then last night we got into some things. This morning my wife did such an excellent job by the anointing of God. Amen. But one of the things that I believe we'll finish up with, how many of you know us preachers, we never get done. Amen. And so it's not like we don't have a message, but how many of you know we want it to be the right message? Sure. Amen. And so you can kind of see how God just kind of built these meetings this weekend. And so we're so thankful for it. But if you would, open your Bibles back up to Revelation chapter 3, where we were last night. And how many of you know God does have phases and rooms for you? Amen. Do you remember on the invitation by God, Elijah invited Elisha into his room? Yes. Or if I could say into his phases or his ministry. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and would talk to him after Brother Hagin had been in the ministry for 15 years. And he told him, he says, it was he entered in 34, preached for 15 years, 12 years as a pastor, 3 years as, he said, in that denomination he was a part of, they did not believe in the apostle, prophet, or teacher at that time. So he said you either had to be, or no, I'm sorry, apostle or prophet. So you had to be a pastor, teacher, and evangelist. So he said when he knew he wasn't a pastor, then he said the only thing left according to that denomination was basically an evangelist. So for 3 years he traveled as an evangelist and he went broke.
Yes. Yes.
He did.
Yes.
And see, a lot of times people say, like Brother Hagin did, he said, well, Lord, I left the church. It was the best parsonage we ever had. It was the biggest church we ever pastored. The salary was the best we ever had. And I went on the field of ministry and I obeyed you. And then Jesus said, I didn't call you to be an evangelist. So I mean, you know, it's important to find your place in the body of Christ. We know that we used to think that some of us used to think along this line that there's only five ministry gifts. We know those are the five, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But yet in 1 Corinthians 12:28, we saw last night there's a huge list.
Yes.
You know, there's seven or eight ministries there. And then in Romans 12:6, down through about three or four more verses, it'll talk about different measures of grace and different ministries.
Yes.
You know, Brother Hagin would teach us about there's a ministry of giving, yet everyone has to sow and reap.
Yes.
Right? Are you following me?
Yes.
But he said there's specifically those that are called in the body of Christ to be givers. It
yes.
says that in Romans 12.
Yes.
Ministry of mercy. They're very merciful. Different ones. But yet, how many of you know we all should show people mercy?
Yes.
Amen. So in that, everybody say helps. So then, as we talked about last night, you know, the Lord's helped us, talked to us, because I want to know for my age, am I about where I need to be to finish my course? Paul said, I've got into every ministry, every room, and every phase God wanted for me. I have finished my course. Right?
Yes.
I have kept the faith.
Yes.
What faith? The assignment that God gave him.
Yes.
See, to do whatever we do, if you don't have a God word and you go do something based on need, there can be no God faith with that.
Yes.
You chose to do that. But when God tells you to do something and you act on it, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, whether it's written or in the heart, by the Spirit of God. So then, we know that for my age, am I about where I need to be to finish this race? Right? Well, then what about the ministry of helps? If there's rooms and phases for the fivefold ministry, there has to be phases in the ministry of helps. So where are you in the development of the ministry of helps if you're not in the fivefold ministry?
Amen.
Because how many know we want to finish every one of them?
Yes.
And at every one of them, there will be an open door of opportunity because you have been found what? Faithful. Tell me the definition of faithfulness according to 1 Samuel 2:35. Doing it the way God has it in his heart and in his mind. When Brother Hagin left, his last church went out on the field, and he's doing all of that. And then he went back to Jesus and he said, Jesus, my kids aren't adequately clothed. We're not adequately fed. If my landlord wasn't a pastor, I'd already got evicted. We're 3 months behind. And he said, Lord, Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He said, I have been obedient. He said, you wasn't willing. Remember that? Well, then after that happened, do you remember what Jesus began to talk to him? He said, you have not been faithful. And Brother Hagin challenged it. It's all recorded in the book, I Believe in Vision. He says, I was faithful because I left. Most people think they're faithful because they come to church. But if you come to church and you still don't do in the local church what he told you to do, even though you come every service, you've not been found faithful. Because if God said everybody fits and there's a spot for everybody in his family and in the fellowship that he assigns them to, then how many of you know there has to be a position? So if I never obey that, can I be called faithful?
No.
Amen. But we're learning, aren't we? So if you would, smile at your neighbor and say, I fit in the body of Christ. I have a place by God to serve him and serve the body of Christ. Right? Now in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, may I say also pastor, most believe, but it does say angel. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shut, and shutteth, and what? No man opened. Jesus said, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee what? An open door. You remember Matthew 25:21. What did he say? He went to the one and said, well done, thou good and
faithful.
Now tell me definition of faithfulness. Doing it the way God has it in his heart and his mind. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few. I will now increase you and make you ruler over many.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
How did the man get increase? He was found faithful by God, so he opened more doors of opportunity.
Amen.
Galatians 6 says, don't be weary. Don't faint.
Yes, sir.
As you have, therefore, opportunities.
Amen.
Now this should make more sense. God will release more under your hands when you are found faithful by him.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So more and more will come, and he will assign more to you. Because you've been found faithful. Amen. Now, so in these things, we saw we want to get into every room and every phase, don't we? Amen. We saw last night, and I brought it out, I believe it was last night, that if you go into a house and you go into the front room, living area, usually there's a couch and recliners and maybe a TV, end table, coffee table, different things. And in that room, there is different things that are emphasized. But you can go into another room of the same calling or same house. And you might go into the kitchen And there'll be a refrigerator, there'll be stove, there'll be utensils, there'll be pots, there'll be pans. But yet it's of the same house, but there's different things being emphasized because it's a different room. Yes. Brother Hagin, Jesus would appear to him periodically, and he told him first, he said, have all faith crusades. Then he told him to do a different thing. And then he said, do this. And then he told him, do this. And every one of them, there was something else emphasized in these particular type of meetings. It's interesting that as you start out, if you start out pastoring, how that at the beginning, in the beginning of phases, how in your ministry, God will emphasize certain things of a certain room. But because you go to a different phase doesn't mean you leave the house or you leave the ministry. But he will begin to emphasize something different.
Amen.
That's why a lot of times, you know, people, years ago, my wife and I, we attended some meetings. Many of you maybe have read after Brother John Maxwell, different ones, very gifted, very, very great blessing to the body of Christ. But we would go, and it was about church growth and different things. And Brother Hagin tried to get us to see some stuff at the beginning. But, you know, when you're young and you think you know a lot, you found out later you're just pure stupid. Amen. but we was finding our way. And Brother Hagin would tell us, he'd say, you know, people would call him and he says, we heard you're starting a school. You know, this is back in the mid-70s. And he said, we are. And they said, well, we'd like for you to tell us how to do that because we feel like it's on our heart to do it also. And he would tell them. He'd say, tell them, if it's on your heart to do it, you're going to have to find out how God wants you to do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
See, that's why after a few of those deals, we decided we're never going to go to church growth because, you know, if it's a business plan of just gathering people, there are talented people that can gather people. But if you look it up, that's a hireling.
Yes.
They gather people. But a shepherd will always walk before the sheep, give their life for the sheep in the regards of willing to stay with them, no matter if the salary's bad or salary's good or whatever. Because the guy that we knew, or I knew personally, I don't think Sally ever knew him, his name was Jesse. We used to go to Colorado. Back early 70s, we'd start hunting in the mountains on the west side of Denver, over by Glenwood Springs, up in that area, up on Clark. And I run into this guy, and he was a Mexican man from Old Mexico, and he could speak very, very little English. And so him and I, you know, my wife has always told me as we go to foreign countries, she said, just because you slow down and talk louder doesn't mean they can understand. I thought it helped personally, but it don't. But I was talking to him, and he would stay up in the mountains, and he showed me the rug he'd killed a bear when they were there one time. A black bear come out of the aspens and tried to eat a sheep. He actually shot him right behind the ear and killed him, skinned him, made a rug out of him. Different things. But he showed me the tone he used for that herd of sheep. And he had came into the U.S. for over 20-some years and done this. But he would say, how many of you have ever been around chickens?
Yes, sir.
Okay, quite a few. How many of you know you can't drive chickens? They don't know what you're doing, you know. And so if you've been around sheep, You can't drive sheep. So Brother Jesse was teaching me, and he said, what I do is I will make the decision what meadow we're going to go to. And so he said, I start out, and he said, I've got a certain voice, and he would roll his tongue, and it was, and he said, those sheep knew that voice. And he said, no matter where I went, they would follow me. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He don't drive.
No, sir.
He leads.
Amen.
So the shepherd, when people understand the way this works, they begin to realize, well, the pastor is not really going to chase me down. He's going to be leading the entire flock. If I want to go eat loco weed, that's my business. And go berserk. Because he's busy leading the flock. Are you with me? So in these things of understanding, so if you are a pastor and God's getting ready to promote and do some other things with a different phase, then how many of you know it'll still consist of shepherding, but it might emphasize something a little bit different. What about in the ministry of helps? Well, if he's not telling you to completely leave the ministry of helps, then what would it consist of? It might be as just one of the regular, like just coming in under one of the leaders that's over Department of Ministry of Helps. But as you've been found faithful, God will speak to the leadership of the church and say, I'd like for them to now maybe be over more. What's happening? You're going into a different room or a different phase. And what will begin to happen, you'll eventually just keep getting promoted. With promotions, it'll be by God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, let's look at these things tonight. If you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, people used to tell my wife and I this all the time. They says, you all don't act like pastors or preachers. And we're like, well, we've never been one before. and you know, people, they would talk to us about, you all act kind of, y'all act like you're having fun, you act kind of crazy at times, different things, whatever. And I thought, well, I don't know how else to act other than be me.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yes,
and because God will always use personalities.
Yes,
right? So in this, what we're going to look at tonight is, I believe how God set this whole thing up, is there's some promotions this weekend. And usually there's always scripture for everything God does. But if people can see why they're feeling what they're feeling, and really what's going on around them by the word of God, it'll help them.
Amen.
Yes, amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's start, if you would, in verse 8. We'll pray. Father, we love and thank you and praise you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Father God, we're getting more and more understanding. And Father, we thank you by the word and by the Spirit of God. We're grateful. We value it. We cherish it. Therefore, Father, you will tell the Holy Ghost, pull the cover back on even more or show more, because they valued what I took time to tell you, Spirit of God, to show them. So, Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll read the King James first, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, but also here to Bullhead City, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. Now, what's ignorant?
Unlearned.
Unknown. What's stupid?
Unknown.
Been given information, you still won't change. So if you don't mind, tell your neighbor, I'm glad I ain't sitting by nobody stupid tonight. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of y'all are ignorant? There's some things I'm ignorant of. But if God will help me, I won't be ignorant no more. But I'm learning to not be stupid. Amen. When God reveals, you know, when Brother Copeland was teaching my wife and I in 84 some stuff, and I said, well, that can't be right. And, you know, and I've been drinking, drugging, all that goofy stuff that goes with that kind of life. And I said, that can't be right. How many know that ain't ignorant? That's stupid.
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing stuff that's life changing can fix me.
Yes,
and I'm arguing with my answer.
Yes.
That's stupid.
Amen.
But you can be ignorant and just like, I don't really know, but Lord, if you'll show me, I'll change. How many of you know that's a good heart?
Amen.
Amen. So Paul writes and he says, again, at the beginning of verse 8, he said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant." Ignorant what, Paul? Of our what? Trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were what? Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even our life. Now, it's interesting here that Paul emphasized the reason he wanted to tell the people what was going on in their life. He said, "I don't want you to be ignorant, unknown, of the trouble that came to us in Asia." Correct? You know, as faith people, you know, there was such a deal about confession of faith that kind of got twisted, that Brother Hagin never brought forth. Romans 4:17, calleth those things that be not as though they were. A lot of people call things that be not. We don't have trouble. We don't have trouble. We don't have trouble. There can be no faith attached to that because that's so unscriptural.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation."
Yes.
But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
See, people are fearful if they're not careful.
Yes.
And they will say things based on fear because they are afraid that will come.
Yes. Yes.
That is not a confession of faith.
No, it's not. Amen.
Amen. We won't have trouble. We don't have trouble. We don't have trouble. If you ain't lived very long, you'll find out you run into quite a bit of stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. But in trouble, if you will ask God and stay with God, how many know you will come out of
yes.
it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you besides me ever had sickness just slap you upside the head and you didn't know where it come from?
Yes, sir.
Sure. But how many know we didn't quit? And we wasn't embarrassed about it. We like, "Thank God, in the midst of this, I thank you, by your stripes, I am healed."
Amen.
Glory to God. Yes. Amen. And I mean, no, we come out on the other side.
Yes.
So then Paul says, "I need the whole group that's supporting, those that are following me, I need you to know we got in trouble." But see, a lot of times people will assume they know. So sometimes it's really good to explain where you're headed and what's going on.
Yes, sir.
So Paul said, just so everybody's clear, you need to know that I ain't doing nothing I'm not supposed to. I'm not out of the will of God, but there was trouble.
Yes. Amen.
See, sometimes people think faith people. That's why my wife and I, when we teach, we tell a lot of stuff we've gone through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good and bad.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, when she was talking about this morning, us at Rhema in that Toyota Corolla two-door with all them kids, all that stuff, and it was different colors, different things and dinged up and stuff like that. You know, people get to thinking, well, you know, you was just born with a silver spoon in your mouth. No, I was born, but I weren't with no silver spoon. Amen. Are you with me? And people that we grew up around know how we were raised, know where we come from,
yes,
and they will be like, "Man, y'all have done well." We're like, "No, God led us to here. God brought us to this place of abundance." Amen. Not because we're so wonderful. Amen. But because He's so wonderful. But people have to know those things that, you know, you ain't just always, we have missed God. Big.
Amen.
Big. We had thought God said something, and because our hearts are bent to do what He says and went after it or done it, and sure enough, it weren't God. Amen. But how many know, if you're honest enough, God will redeem you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God will redeem you. God will fix it. He'll help you. He'll take care of it. You know, it might take a while, but you'll get out of it. You stay with God. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul's writing here and he's like, "I don't want nobody ignorant of why we were in trouble in Asia." And then he has this saying. He says, "We were pressed where?"
Out of
measure. Can y'all pull that verse up in the Message Bible? He said, We don't want you in the dark, friends.
Yes.
About how hard it was when all this came down on us in Asia province. It was so bad. We didn't think we were going to make it. One translation said, we aren't sure we're going to make it out alive. And people like, well, that ain't a very good confession. You don't have any idea how rough it was in Asia.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We felt like we'd been sentenced to death row. That is all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened.
Amen.
Instead of trusting in our own strength and our own wits to get out of it, we were forced. We were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's a God who raises the dead. Woo! Glory to God. Yeah, weren't a bad idea at all. Amen. Look over at your neighbor and say, that's not a bad idea. Amen. Yeah. Paul's like, yeah, if they'd have killed us, even if they killed us, God raises the dead. It'll be all right, God. Brother Hagin used to teach us, and he would teach and preach to us out of Peter, where he says, after that you have suffered a while, he may settle you. He said, you want to know why I'm so settled? And then he'd laugh. He says, it's from all the pressure and the crazy stuff we went through. I have found out. I don't care what's happening.
Yes,
you remember when Miss Aretha stepped up on the front porch and he was unlocking the house? He told his story.
Yes,
and he Aretha said to him, and she was a little perturbed. You know, she was stressed out. But she said to him, and I'm not talking against her or nothing.
No.
But she, because how many of y'all ever been under stress or pressure and said something right off the cuff? Gave no thought to it whatsoever. Spoke strictly but what you're feeling. And she said to him, well, I don't think you would worry if me and both kids fell dead right here. And he said, well, certainly not. What good would that do? You'd already be dead. Well, that didn't help. Amen. But he said, I had to go through some stuff. We sang about it a while ago. I heard all of y'all singing it before we got in here. I don't know if it was tonight or last night. You have led me through the fire. And we're like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, that's such a good song. You didn't say that when you was in the fire. You was all up like, God, how long is this going to last? Amen. Yeah, here we go. You have led me through the fire. You have led me through the water. Poke your neighbor. Say, I hope you're getting this. Amen. And so, look over at your neighbor. No, don't tell him that yet. Okay, now. So, look, if you would, at verse 8 again. He says, we were pressed. Everybody say pressed.
Pressed.
What is pressed? Everybody say pressure.
Pressure.
What is pressure? What is pressure? If you would, push against somebody sitting by you. Push on. Push on. Can you feel that being pushed on you?
Yes.
That is
pressure.
So what was the pressure designed to do? Paul finally got it. What's it say? Yeah, well, he said trust God later, but pressed out of measure. Measure. What measure? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, ha, 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 ha. If you don't mind, tell them, say, you know, it'd be good if you'd loosen up a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, look at about verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7. But unto everyone is given grace according to what? What's pressure designed to do? Get you out of the measure of the gift of Christ that God's asked you to do.
Amen.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you feel pressure?
Yes.
Sure you can. Sure you can. You know, one definition of pressure is the weight or force that is produced when something presses or pushes against something. Then the other one is the action of pressing or pushing against something so that you can feel it. Can Satan send pressure?
Yes.
I agree. So I'm going to ask you again, and you've answered correctly. Can Satan send pressure?
Yes.
Then if he can send it, can he release it?
Yes.
I agree. His pressure is designed what, according to Paul? Listen to this. In Brother Hagin's book, when Jesus actually appeared to him, and he said, I've never called you to pastor. He said, you were in training, so it was permissive. That was fine. But he said, now, he said, you need to step through and go into this office that I've called you to, the office of the prophet. Correct? What did Brother Hagin say, if you've read after him or listened to him? What did he face in the first 8 months of his ministry as a prophet as he had in the entire previous 15 years? Thank you. He said, I have faced more demons than I have in 8 months than I have in the previous 15 years. You say, is that scriptural? Yeah, sure. 1 Corinthians 16:9. And sometimes people wonder what is happening because they come and they find a church where they feel like they fit. That's where God wants them. They hook up, they connect. And out of the pureness of their heart, they want to help. They want to serve. They want to become involved. And so God actually has a place designed for them. And they start into that place, and everything at the house was fine. Stuff at the job was good. And they're like, woo-hoo, we are blessed of God. And then we sing that song, Beyond the Open Door. This is a song God gave me and my wife in 1997 when he said things were changing. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you into a greater power than you've ever gone before. So Brother Hagin says, the door swings open. Like you, you've come and you want to help. So you step through an open door that was provided because you've been found faithful. And all hell breaks out.
Yes.
And people get confused and like, when I wasn't helping, when I wasn't serving, this wasn't going on. So if Satan can bring pressure, he can release pressure.
Yes.
My wife and I were friends with this one couple, and they were connected with a larger ministry. And I mean, the pressure got great. They were having some difficulty in their marriage, some stuff in the finances, just different things. And these thoughts begin to come, how about you go help, let's just say their parents. How about you go help your parents in the ministry? And both of them told us this. They said it was like the pressure left. And often people will substitute a lack of pressure for the peace of God. Therefore, they will step back out of the open door and they stay where it's comfortable. So this is what the Lord told me to help me see so I wouldn't fall for it. He said, what did I tell you to do concerning Israel? And I said, well, as far as I know, pray for the peace. Thank you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Israel, right? What is that word peace? What's it mean? Say that again. Y'all said it right. It's shalom, wholeness. Most people think when we pray for the peace of Israel, Jerusalem, it's Lord, let there be no trouble. You ought to get a revelation. There's going to be crazy stuff going on in the Middle East because Pakistanis and some of them others over there, they think the land belongs to them. God says that part of the world belongs to the Jews. And there's going to be people that are going to try to take it away from them, do all that stuff in the East Bank, all of that stuff. But how many know there's probably going to be fighting because the Bible says that when Jesus finally says enough's enough and God does hailstone, it's from when Russia and Gog, China come from the north and half of them or a third of them get wiped out and all that stuff because they're coming after the land.
Yes.
So how many know there's going to be fighting and stuff. So pray for the what?
Peace.
Most people think there is so much trouble that they're out of the will of God. So Paul says, I've got to make sure that all of you that are helping me know just because we ain't sure we're going to get out of this alive, that it ain't because we're missing God, but it's because through faithfulness, Paul's the one that wrote 1 Corinthians. Because through faithfulness, God opened a door for us.
Yes.
We stepped through it, and brother, all hell broke loose.
Yes.
Because the enemy did not want the message of the gospel of who we are in Christ proclaimed there.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
So he's really after the message,
Amen.
Not the messenger.
Amen. Amen.
So he said then, when I told you, peace, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says this don't mean there'll be absence of trouble because he said, I told you in John 16, in the world, you're going to have trouble. Some translation says tribulation. But,
be of good cheer.
Thank you. Y'all left me hanging. I thought I heard the limb cracking. But what?
Be of good cheer.
Why?
Because
Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Is that right?
Yes.
So what? When people say peace, what are they looking for? Absence of trouble? Absence of pressure?
Amen.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Amen.
So in the very midst of trouble, you can have the peace of God.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes.
See, if you're going to be led by nothing going on, no trouble. How many know? What? Might as well stay at the house. So, look at Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Let's do it in the King James, and then we might do it in the Amplified. Luke 22, 42. Down through 44. It says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be what? Done. 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were what? Now you begin to understand pressure.
Yes.
Now you see pressure. Why is there such pressure on him? He's fixing to die for you and me.
Yes.
There's such pressure, because you remember 1 Corinthians 2 said, had the devil and his imps known what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
Jesus said, you didn't take it, folks. Pharaoh, you didn't take my life.
No,
I lay it down. You can't take it.
Amen.
So how many know they fell into this and they're like, we got all the Jews stirred up. Or I'm sorry, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the reason they were sad is they didn't believe in eternity. So they were sad, you see, and all that other stuff. And so they are all stirred up and they're just going at it. And Jesus there, and he said, Lord, I feel the pressure of trying to do it another way. But he said, if there's any other way, can we do it?
Yes.
So listen, don't feel alone when you feel the same way.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to do this or not. Well, how many of you know? You're in good company.
Yes.
Amen. But the thing of it is, you know, when you feel that pressure and then these thoughts come, how about you just go back to doing what you were doing? You don't need to be stepping through an open door and promotion phases and rooms and all that stuff. Just stay right here where it's comfortable. How many know? Say, no, if God's opened the door, I'm going through the door. I'm going through the door. Amen. And the pressure we're feeling, it's okay, because in the midst of trouble, I still can have the peace of God. Amen. And so Jesus prayed this way. And it's such a great example for us because he was under such pressure.
Amen.
But did he yield to the pressure?
No.
So this one couple that Sally and I've known, when they told us that, they said when we decided, the thoughts came, and then when we decided we will do this other thing, it was like, it was off. And they took it as the peace of God. Because if he can put it, he can release it.
Yes.
And God will never force you or pressure you.
Amen.
He will lead you.
Amen. Amen.
So let's go to 1 Corinthians 16:9, King James, please. Ha, 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 ha. Are we settled?
Yes.
Getting there, ain't we?
Yes.
After you have suffered a while, right?
Yes.
We might touch that, but let's read this here. For a what?
Great door.
And? Folk effectual is open unto me. And what?
Yes.
At the door. Who wrote that?
Paul
did, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's interesting. Now, who opened the doors? God did.
Yes.
Why did he open doors? Because Paul was found faithful. He did it. He preached the message that Jesus had gave to him.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
What happened at the open door by God? How many?
Amen.
That don't necessarily mean a whole herd of the same kind.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, when you get ready to step through an open door, I mean, money's been flowing. You be like, glory to God, because you've been in a good place and you're learning how to flow there. And money is flowing. Health is flowing. The kids are acting right. Glory to God. All the employees act like they have a brain. And you're just like, whoa. And all the ministry of helps folk is showing up, and nobody's wanting to whoop nobody, and you're just going so good. And then God says, you know what? They have been found faithful. Jesus says, they have, Father. They have told what we've asked them to do. They have done it like we have it in our heart. And God says, let's promote. Let's open now another door of opportunity or increase. And the devil hears. Yeah. And he's like, if they get through that door, then others are going to be watching. And they're going to know faithfulness pays off. So I need demons that'll mess with their kids. I need demons that'll mess with the employees. I need this. I need it. And so everybody say many. Many varieties. It seems like it starts coming in from every way. And it is designed to press you to not go through. Sorry. You okay? Okay. It just kind of come on me. Amen. But he is looking for somebody that'll say, glory to God. I am not ignorant of what's going on here. I have been found faithful. God has opened the door of opportunity. And I'm going to walk through that door. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, I'm going through the open door. I'm going through the open door. Glory to God. Because one has been found faithful, God will open doors of opportunity, but the enemy is at the door to pressure you to not walk through it. But make up your mind tonight. I'm going through the open door. I'm going through the open door. So in these lessons God had us teach this weekend, this is what he had told us to lead up to. I know in my heart, if I hear the Spirit of God correctly, that your pastors are going into another phase. It'll be number two. I know that. I know that as well as I know my own name. But how many know we each have to be led by the Spirit of God?
Amen.
So this would begin to explain why others in the congregation have felt some pressure. My wife and I learned a long time ago. Those that are real close to you, Paul said, I had to write and tell you what was going on because he said, God's asked you to help me.
Yes.
So he said, I had to let you know if I'm feeling pressured and you're close, you're going to feel the pressure too.
Yes.
That's why I didn't want you ignorant.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So look at somebody and say, ha, 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 ha. I mean, no, if they're going up, we're all going up here to church. Amen. Glory to God. So let's stand up. Whew. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you. Known before. Thank you, Father God. For you see, the things that you have felt, you've known to laugh, and you've known to walk by faith. But this should explain more. But this should also explain more to those that are close. Sometimes people say things like, I can't put my finger on it, but it just seems like something's going on. Usually, in their heart, in their spirit, if they know something is, let's say it this way, there is a promotion or there is an open door coming, you can sense that. But it's up to God when He says the door's now open. But then when He opens the door, it is up to us to do what? Walk through it. So tonight, my wife and I, we're going to lay hands on folks. And how many of you know the gifts and callings of God, Romans 11:29, are without repentance irrevocable? Everybody say gifts and callings of God. Nobody can call you.
Yes, amen.
They're of God.
Yes.
The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So if you guys would come, hon, will you come? And then I'm going to ask the anyone else that desires here in a minute, I want you to come. So the Holy Ghost would say, the things you have sensed and the things you have actually felt, don't be discouraged, but be encouraged. For you see, you've done well. You've obeyed. You've done what I've asked you to do to the best of your ability. But you see, as you've now